You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
This gardening feature is brought to you by Harry Humans Garden Center.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Humans Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Humans Garden Center.
It's 10:30 and time for the Garden Zone with David Parker from Budding Inspirations.
Yes, there we that's are. Correct. I almost forgot to push my button there as well.
Yes, no. Hey? I had my finger on the button.
You had the finger on the button.
Right, yes.
The only other lady I know that can push my buttons.
Good morning, David, and welcome
How
back.
How are you? You're looking lovely. Nice holidays.
Lovely. I needed it, and it was good, and it's great to be back there. I did miss the radio.
I miss you guys as well, because, as you know, we listen quite a lot, and it's different when there's no speaking, but I tell you, we all need a break.
Yes, we do.
And I hope we all do. Relaxed and rested. But I laugh because everyone I talk to at this time of year is really tired. You get tired from holidays. I can't explain it to you. And then you come back to work tired, and I don't know.
And then don't forget, you forget your words. Yeah. It's like, the coffee's have to get out of here. Our topic this morning is
anyway,
David.
Yeah, so I can't believe we're back into it. I had to turn the page from December, from last month, all the way back to January. And now we basically go through it from January through to December again. And that is as we all know, on the very first show of the month, as we do two a month, Sue, is what to do in the garden for the particular month. Obviously, we are Cape Town. We are a winter rainfall region. However, I think we can all agree when we look up there, the weather around the globe is changing. And I think I say it almost every time, Sue. It's hectic. I saw a Nostradamus prediction that in 2024 the world was going to be ravaged by floods and that, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist by any means, but then on the news just the other day, there's in London there's a place that's been shut down, all floods. I mean, it's quite crazy, to be honest.
Yeah, it's scary stuff. It is scary. Someone predicts something that years ago for now. It's scary, isn't it?
Then you watch a show called How the Universe Works, and how small we are in the scheme of things, and time. But anyway, let's get into it for the month of January. As always, Sue, we're going to start on trees, shrubs, and climbers. And I just want to put it out there that if anybody wants to ask questions, we've got the WhatsApp studio number, which is 072-447-8044.
There we go, David.
I snuck that in because I'm missing that. Hey, I said to Jalen that I really need to just do a show. I've got some itchy DJ fingers, so I needed to get that off my chest. Thanks for letting me do it. See, I appreciate
it.
It's
a pleasure.
So, trees, shrubs, and climbers for the month of January in Cape Town. At this particular time of the year, you're going to water your plants deeply when dry and mulch. And I think that's a very important thing right now. We often speak about mulch, Jeremy and I, and it's just hugely essential at the moment. It's not just the heat, it's the wind. The wind is a killer as well. Not many people realize how much wind takes out the ground. And I think you can actually appreciate that if you follow the dams and you see when we have a windy week, how much percentage of water drops by. That just gets blown off the top,
And we have had a terrible bout of wind, haven't we?
It's been incredible. And I mean, I don't have to say it because I think I heard it on Jacques' show. I was talking to a lady about a week ago about cleaning this after these horrible fires we've had. And this wind, you just wake up to a layer of soot or dust over your home at the moment. So, but that's pretty much goes for gardens as well. So if you've got open areas. In fact, I noticed one of my most amazing plants of mine that have been healthy and good, but it sits on the corner of my patio, has been completely blown on the one side, and it's actually starting to get brown. So the wind is a serious problem, guys. Can be quite a big factor, especially if you've got seedlings and you want something to grow. It's important that you give it some form of protection. And then obviously that first important point there is mulch. And remember, mulch can be anything that covers the ground that just keeps the moisture in, guys. It's very important. You're going to check for and control pests building up during summer. Aphids, thrips, and scale. I had a serious infection of the stink bug. They're like the little flat bug of the bee on my roses, and they've just desecrated my roses.
They destroyed your roses.
Yeah, and I it's funny. I was speaking to Jeremy John Lewis, and I did a gentle spray because I'm also I try to be as organic as possible. There's a balance in life, you know. Just a once-off spray, but these things are like bloody armored tanks, man. They just stand up to everything. So
what did you do?
Well, I actually I put them into a bucky in the morning. I physically removed them, put them into a jar, and then when I went onto the field with my dog, I just put them at the field far away from my home. But
so how did you manage to catch them there?
No, they're big, hey?
I'm serious.
They're big, but they're on your, like, they're literally, they, so what they do is they sit just under your rose buds, and they just literally sap all the juice out. And you'll see your rose buds the next morning and the brown and wilting. So they've been pretty severe, to be honest with you. Susan, so now I know I've had them this year so badly.
So now I know what you've been doing for this holiday.
Yeah, that's all. Look out my window, catching bugs, you know. But it takes you back to your childhood. You're running around with the net trying to catch butterflies, you know, so I suppose. All right, cool. And then we're going to plant container-grown plants in mild, moist conditions at any time of the year. Remember, guys, a container-grown plant is very much like a plant you buy at the nursery that comes in a plastic pot.
Yes.
It's easy to take out, unless, unfortunately, you've grown it in a, what we call the round Alibaba pots that sort of, because then the roots sort of mass, and you might have to break the pot. They use a granular wetting agent in the soil, remove suckers from rootstocks, take softwood and tip cuttings of plants such as fuchsias. So basically a sucker, just going back one step from a rootstock, is you'll get your ball root that's just under the ground and you'll have a beautiful tree, and the next thing you look and you've got this amazing shoot that's grown right out the ground next to the normal, the where the main tree is, but it's grown at twice to three times the rate of the other growth. And that's just what they call a sucker shoot. I'm not sure why it does it. It's incredible. Roses suffer from them a lot, but you just literally nip them off underground and then just put some soil over them and it should be fine. Then we already sort of covered roses, but we're going to talk about roses. Regularly deadhead flowers. Water plants regularly in hot, dry weather. I just want to put it out there that it's a bit of a myth about watering in the middle of the day in the heat. It's not about burning. What it's all about evaporation rate. So it is important this time of year, guys, that you water more later on in the day, perhaps early evening, especially if it is hot and windy. What that does is it allows the water to settle a bit more into the ground instead of getting absorbed by the heat or blown away. And then what that also does is it allows the roots to be a little bit stronger, because then the roots get a bit deeper and healthier, and that's what we want in anything we do.
So you suggest more like afternoon when the sun is starting to go down.
Yeah, 100%. When it goes into our cooler weather, because then the water doesn't get evaporated too, so it sits in the ground longer. Yes. Remember, if you water at 9 o'clock in the morning and it's a 32 degree day, by 11 o'clock, the ground is so hot already that the sun is actually pulling the... Yes. You see that... I don't know if you've ever been driving and you see that steam coming out. That's kind of the same. That's evaporation in its own way. Cool. Then you're going to feed the plants late in the month for good autumn flowers. I've been feeding quite regularly. I always encourage an organic feed, something you can pretty much do all year round. And now is the time to put down a granular fertilizer. When you're dealing with roses, you've got the, obviously you want the growth, but you also want the flower. So you want something high in potassium and high in nitrogen. So a 315 is good. But also pop down to our local nursery, Harry Goodman's, and Jeremy and his crew will give you good advice and point you in the right direction. Check for any pests. I've been physically removing mine, as you heard, but check for any pests now. And again, guys, it's not about spray. It's just, you know, it's a good balance. I mean, if the rose buds are looking good and you got one or two pests, then it is what it is. You know, everything needs a bit of food now and then. So just see, get the balance right. I've been trying some organic sprays, and literally a sunlight liquid in a bottle, Sue, and just to spray on, it works.
Sunlight liquid?
Yeah, because...
With a little bit of warm water or just like...
No, normal water. But what happens is, remember, if you put sunlight liquid, it's got like a quite a viscous feel to it. Yes. So it's quite thick in its way. And if you put enough in water and you stir it and you let it settle, what happens is when you spray that stickiness actually remains in the water.
And it's natural.
It's 100% natural. And what it does is the bugs, they battle to get through it to the leaf. I can't explain it to you. And then also just put a cap full of Jace fluid in that, maybe, because Jace fluid is a disinfectant. And believe it or not, it can be used.
Sunlight liquid and Jace fluid. A little bit. Obviously, you say
just,
a cap full
in there. Okay. And then I remember once we, and I'm just giving some advice here, once we had a discussion about moles.
Yes.
And we all know that moles are a protected species, and you can't just go out there and blatantly hurt them. And besides, they everywhere stop selling all these major products, which is good, to be honest with you. So I had a client from Johannesburg say that in Joburg they use Jace fluid neat in the hole. Obviously an organic way to do it. And I've got to tell you, Sue, I can't believe the results over 3 months, but we don't have any moles in this guy's house, and so it's literally worked.
So what did...
Just do it in the hole of the mold, though. So
a capful as well?
No, you've got to, unfortunately, pour. But yeah. Look, a tin is about 45 rand. But, yes. You know, it's a catch. Again, it's a balance. Again, it's organic, which I like about it.
Yes.
And I think it's just got to do with the smell. I think there's... Remember, moles are blind.
Yes.
So they've got quite a sensitive nose. And it's a very organic way to look out for them. And I think it's the smell that permeates and they don't like it. I mean, Josephine has got quite a distinctive smell. Yeah. But it's definitely an organic way to go, and a way that you will not harm your ground. It doesn't harm the moles. It just pushes them away. I know that sucks because you might be sending it to your neighbor or whatever, but it is what it is. You know,
I've got a few friends that have mold problems. So this is one that I hope, if they're not listening, I'm definitely going to
let
them
know. No, you must tell them. So, I mean, the other thing was those phosphorus gas, which is a killer. You know, and I've seen companies put down massive barbed wire, which is all not right, to be honest with you. So let's do the best we can to save our planet. Cool. Then you're going to deadhead and lightly trim old-fashioned roses, except those that develop attractive hips. A hip is when the flower finishes flowering, Sue. Yes. It actually goes into the little red round ball. That's what we call roses going to hip. And believe it or not, those are actually the seed of a rose. And if you wanted to try and propagate one, you could cut those, put it in water, and you'll see a little root growing, and then you're actually growing a rose from scratch. A long period of wait.
Because I know you're a rose guy, and you love roses. How do you get the two different colors?
Oh, well, that's your go-to. They've been hybridized.
Yes,
So you've got like Ludwig's roses are one of the best in our country. And remember, Jeremy stocks all of the Ludwig's rose varieties if you're looking for something particular.
Yes.
Also, you can actually give them an order and they will order it for you. But there's a wonderful, wonderful place in Weinberg called the Chart Farm.
Yes.
It really is a place that people should go and visit. So you can take your lovely lady there.
Their scones are amazing as well.
But you can actually handpick your own roses. They give you a basket. Yeah, you pay, I think, 10, 15 rand per rose. However many you bring back, and they give you a hand cutter, and you can mosey through the rose fields. And what I love about that place is, the reason why I'm saying this is, they got a little sign up that tells you what type of rose you're looking at. So,
also
phone Ludwig's Roses if you want a chance and chat to them, and there are thousands of varieties.
If you've just tuned in, we are busy with the Garden Zone with David Parker.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yes, yes, yes.
Alrighty, so we just finished the topic of roses too, so we're going to move on to lawns. The thing that I love the most in the world, I don't know why, but I just do a green, healthy lawn. It's also not that when you mow a lawn that hasn't been mowed for a while and it's long, and it just changes the look of a place instantly, doesn't
it? I love walking on a lawn that's spongy and it's green.
Lush. I don't know, you've got visions of lying on your back and looking up the stars. There's just so much that comes with a beautiful lawn. Okay, so for lawns in the month of January in Cape Town, you're going to give your lawns a balanced plant food that encourages root as well as top growth. That's always encouraged the organic Atlantic Ocean Bargo range. It's got wonderful phosphates in there for the roots, as well as obviously a nitrogen-based organic feed. You're going to water with a weekly soaking in the early morning to avoid fungal attack. Now, isn't that interesting, Sue? I just mentioned two minutes ago about watering at night for keeping the water in. Now, when you read there, it says that I must water in the morning, and I have heard of this. That is, funny enough, the one problem with watering at night is if the water sits too long. As you know, in winter when it's cold and wet, you get the moss or the algae grows.
Yeah.
There is truth to that, so I'm glad that I mentioned that. I'm still a fan of watering more in the evenings. But what it's saying is, if you water too much, and if it is cold at night and the water sits on your lawn, what happens is you can actually encourage a fungal spore or whatever. But I don't seem to battle that, and I'm being honest. I water pretty much every evening, and I've got a wonderful healthy lawn. But I think maybe it's because it's more open to the sun. I think sort of deeper, darker areas might be an issue, to be honest, especially maybe in the shade corners, you know. Cool. So then you're going to check for chickweed, dandelions, and other weeds. And then check for the control of lawn pests and diseases. But the healthy lawn is the best defense. Mow regularly at a medium height. And I was actually, ironically, just telling Sue off air about lawns. If you notice you've got a patch that suddenly appeared, and it's, if you've got animals, it could be a urine of a dog or whatever. But if you don't have any animals and you see you've got something that's growing in death, what could happen is you could have lawn caterpillar or lawn crickets under your lawn, and they eat the healthy stem of the lawn underneath the ground, and then they basically move out with the ring, and that's why it gets bigger. A very easy way to check if you've got a pest problem where you have a dead patch is to take a bucket of warm water with sunlight liquid in again.
Yes.
Again, because of the sunlight liquid being a thick viscous in the water, when you pour it over the area, what happens is it filters through the sand, because obviously they're tiny insects. They battle to to breathe. It doesn't kill them. They just realize that they can't breathe there, and they all make their way to the surface. It's an organic way to check, and then you can actually physically see if you've got any issues or what you need. And then you're probably going to need something like a carbo spray or a carbo dust, which is quite a nice product because it comes in a feed. So you can do kill two birds with one stone there. You can feed your lawn, and you can put down a insecticide, which just discourages all the insects. So flowering plants for January, you're going to water, fertilize, and mulch plants. You can see there's always a theme through a month. So mulching and watering is pretty key at the moment. And fertilizing, we are in our second month of summer. So we got February left, and then we go into autumn already. Yeah, I can't believe it. March, April, May is autumn. Yeah. And
it's the end of March, the autumn. Really?
Yeah, well, in theory of the months. But, you know, again, what was weird, and we were all following the weather in December. I mean, literally the week before Christmas, it was 22 degrees. No wind,
yeah.
Cool, and that is like our winter weather. That's when we're coming out of winter into our, and then literally the week before Christmas,
wind.
And the week after Christmas with a horrible fire was 50k winds, and that's what we sort of know as Cape Townians as a summer month, which is not lekker. But so the weather, again, we've spoken about it earlier, the weather is changing quite drastically around. But so you're going to take cuttings of perennials, and you can either put them in water and let the roots grow, or you can just literally, they're like plants like geraniums and that you can break off, stick them in the ground and they grow. You're going to layer your border carnations. It's funny, remember this book does intertwine carnations, obviously not indigenous and quite particular plants. So if that's what you like, that's what you love. Water and feed all flowering plants and dehead regularly. The more you dehead dead flowers, the more growth flowers you get. Mulch all plants well after watering. Mix water storing granules into soil around roots to aid moisture retention. And then last but not least, for flowering plants, you can plant out heat loving annuals such as marigolds and zinnias now. And just to know the definition of annual is a plant that won't last forever. A few months in your garden, you get the joy of it, and then you've got to move on.
But it's very pretty.
Yeah, pretty. Annuals are just that. Annuals are your display. And, you know, in all fairness, when you get these very larny places that do it right and they change the annuals with the seasons, and, oh, man, it can be absolutely gorgeous, you know. But it takes a lot of care. You see, you've got to pinch out the dead rose flowers every time. A lot of annuals love a lot of water because they are just flowering plants. So a lot of water, good, rich soil. And that's why you find, I think the theory of annuals comes more from London or that type of area of the world where there's no wind, there's no salt, you know, the ground's already that well. I mean, the soil in London is just beautiful, organic.
That's why their gardens,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
the grass looks lush and 100%, the gardens look beautiful.
And all the things all flowering. But then remember, then for 6 months of the year, it's just white. Yes. Eh? Snowed out. So I don't know. I'd rather have some beautiful indigenous plants and have no snow than snowed out for 6 months of the year. Yeah. Cool. And then we've got 5 minutes left. So I'm going to quickly go over vegetables and herbs and fruit. Perfect. So for vegetables and herbs, you're going to feed your tomatoes. You can sow beetroot, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, Chinese cabbage, carrots, cauliflower, celery, all the seeds, cucumber. There was a lot of seeds to take in.
Yes.
Endive, perennial herbs, kohlrabi, summer lettuce, marrow, spring onions, parsnips, potatoes, radishes, Swiss chard, and turnips. Remember, there's a lot. Sorry, I'm just going over the list. Again, you've got a local nursery that's very knowledgeable. Everything that I'm mentioning will obviously be on their shelves growing. So if you need any advice, you can pop down there. Otherwise, you can contact me if you need to and we can chat. And then last but not least, it's fruit. And you're going to feed your citrus trees. And that's why we play lemon tree. Because now's the time to feed all your citrus trees, especially lemons. Fruit fly and codling moth are active in summer. So you need to plan a good pest control program for the fruit trees. Again, you do get a wonderful organic range out there. So if you've only got one or two trees, look at that. I know the bigger the scale, it's more difficult when it's organic. Yes. But if it's a home garden, I'm sure we can get away with it. Check for and deal with powdery mildew on vine crops. Tie in grapevine shoots and trim foliage for more sun and light. Feed your passion fruit vines. And then last but not least for today's show, Sue, we're going to prune deciduous fruit trees. And a deciduous fruit tree is a tree that obviously loses all its leaves going into winter. Yes. Anything deciduous loses its leaves in winter.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Can I give my details if anybody wants to contact me, Sue?
Yes,
it's David Parker, Budding Inspirations. My email address is buddinginspirations@gmail.com. And my cell phone number is 073- 247-0351.
Well, there, David, you said it all for me. So
all for you. Lovely being with you, Sue. Nice to see you in the year. Looking forward to the year with you guys, I must be honest.
So all I'm going to say, David, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
We'll catch you in 2 weeks' time.
Catch you in 2 weeks' time with Jeremy and Seth as well. Thanks, Sue.
Bye, cheers, David. Man.
This gardening feature was brought to you by Harry Humans Garden Center.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Humans Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Humans Garden Center.